Out. Oh, non. Yes, for life. Ok. The technology is technology. The technology is a technology. It's kind of working. Yeah, it's working. It is a working. Yeah, okay. So, let's get all the big books open. We're gonna figure this out. Nobody has a Gemara? You don't want to get a Gemara? They're over that way. That's where you'll find the Gemaras. So today we're going to talk about one of the big mysteries in the whole Hakel situation. And that is that the Torah goes through a number of different expressions to identify precisely when the mitzvah of Hakel is supposed to happen. And despite the fact that we have multiple verses, multiple expressions in the Torah, in the end, the precise time of Hakel is actually not known. It's like, I don't think there's another mitzvah in the entirety of the Torah that gives you so many details on the coordinates, you know, precisely when this is going to happen. And then at the same time, doesn't go into, doesn't give us the precise details at all. It's actually quite phenomenal. All right. So before I begin, I just want to acknowledge a special anonymous sponsor tonight, a good friend who is a regular viewer of the Shiurim, who views many, many Torah classes online. And he wanted to dedicate today's class to the memory of, and I quote, our beloved teacher, Rabbi Moshe Miller, Moshe Arya Leib ben David Mordechai, who tragically passed away at a very young age, I think only 67, just a couple of days ago. So may Rabbi Moshe Miller's neshama have an aliyah, may he have nachas on high from the Torah that is being studied tonight. No, tractate Sota. Sota. But it's the second one you're going to need. All right, you know what, Jake? The main thing is to, is not there, I mean, we're going to be reading Rashi and Tosfos inside today, not so much focusing on the words of the Gemara. All right, so I think that in order to best appreciate what we're going to talk about tonight, we need to do a recap of what we talked about in the past lesson, the past episode. Because we're, as far as Gemara words are concerned, we're going to focus tonight on two words in the Gemara, just two words. But these two words come at the conclusion of a whole bunch of words, of a couple of sentences in the Gemara. And we're going to spend time delving into the commentary of both Rashi and Tosfos. And then that'll lead us in a very interesting direction. We're going to see that, like I started saying in the outset, despite the fact that the Torah goes through so many details of when, the perfect time actually isn't identified, which is very, very unusual. It's probably the only mitzvah like that, where we have a time-bound mitzvah and we don't even know exactly when we're supposed to do it. So, with no further ado, the Gemara began its analysis of the teachings that are found in the Mishnah, not by analyzing the words of the Mishnah, but actually by going back to analyze the words of the Torah itself. Because the Mishnah simply elaborated on this Parshas HaMelech, this special reading that the king performed that has to be in Hebrew, and we heard that it has to be on Sukkot. And then we went into the details of how this mitzvah gets fulfilled. So the Gemara asks, why is it that the Torah had to use so many different expressions in order to identify the precise time of this, the fulfillment of this mitzvah? The Torah says, Miketz Shnas HaShemitah, which means at the end of the year of Shemitah. There's actually a dispute between the Rishonim about this. The Rambam, the Meiri, and others believe that the word Miketz is a pole, an end, not as an end of something, but that an extreme pole, and it means the beginning of the year after. Ibn Ezra holds like this also. Nachmanides, the Ramban, says that Miketz actually means at the end of the Shemitah year, literally at the end. But at any rate, the Torah says at a point that borders the year of Shemitah. And then we heard about that it has to be b'moed, and it has to be b'chag Sukkot. Now, moed is a holiday or a festival. The appointed time for Hashem, that's a holiday. And then we have to say it has to be chag Sukkot. So the Gemara wanted to know, why is it necessary to have so many coordinates to identify the precise time for the fulfillment of this very, very unique, unusual septennial reading, this special mitzvah that happens once every 7 years? And the Gemara said, if it only would have said Miketz Sheva Shonim, which means at the end of 7 years or every 7 years, but it wouldn't have said Miketz Shnas HaShemitah, at the end of the Shemitah year, we wouldn't know when to start counting these 7 years. And we would have thought that possibly we should start counting 7 years from the day that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to Yehoshua, which was on the last day of Moshe Rabbeinu's terrestrial lifetime. And he said to Yehoshua, you're going to come into Israel. And in 7 years, Tikra, Esa Torah Hazot, you better read this Torah. You have to gather the people together and read this Torah. So we would say, oh, Moshe Rabbeinu said to Yehoshua, in 7 years you have to do this. So we start the counting of 7 years right now. But in fact, that's not the case. In fact, it's connected to the year of Shemitah, the observance of a sabbatical in the land of Israel, when the fields lie fallow. And there's a lot to say about this, but in a word, during the course of that year, when the fields would lie fallow, the people who were involved in agriculture would focus on the real calling of the Jewish people, which is not agriculture, even though that was the gross national product of the Jewish people in antiquity. Before we became the startup nation, we used to be the agricultural nation. And our festivals follow the agricultural cycles of the land of Israel. It's all true. But that's not who we really are. Because you don't have to be a Jewish people to work the land. Any nation with fertile soil can work the land. We're Hashem's people. When we work the land and we harvest the crops and use them for a sacred and holy purpose, this is an act of avodat Hashem. It's an act of servitude to God. This is the dir b'tachtonim. This is the dwelling place that Hashem asks for, that Hashem, Almighty God, wants. But in order for us to stay focused, we need to study Torah. And the truth is, we study Torah on a daily basis, even if you're a farmer. But every 7 years, the whole country, if you will, shuts down. All agricultural work stops. And the vast majority of the population that was involved in working the land instead focuses on the study of Torah. The Beit Medrash, the house of Torah study, not the golf course and the fisheries, fill up. So now we're going back into that ordinary, pedestrian, mundane way of life. And on the cusp of Shemitah, before we go back into that, we have this amazing assembly of all the people coming together. And we relive the majesty, magnificence, the spiritual uplifting reality of Har Sinai, of Mount Sinai, all over again. And that gives us a koyach to be able to move forward, the strength and the spiritual stamina to involve ourselves in earthly or worldly matters, but not to forget we have a heavenly purpose. So this is the idea, it's after Shemitah. And as we learned in the previous episode, when the Jewish people first came to the land of Israel and were engaged or involved with conquering the land, there was no Shemitah. There was also no need for Shemitah. You didn't have to remember that the land belonged to God. There are no atheists in the foxholes. We were busy fighting for our survival. And faith was what enabled us to overcome the challenges, the adversaries, the battles, the enemies, and so on and so forth. But once the land of Israel is settled, and that takes 14 years, 7 years we fought with our enemies, 7 years we fought with each other, you know, arguing who gets which piece of land. And then finally everybody had their land. Everybody was settled. And then we counted 6 years, and the seventh year was Shemitah. So that's what we're talking about. This is directly linked to the concept of Shemitah. And that's why it has to say, not just Miketz Shavashanim, but rather Miketz Shnat HaShemitah. Okay? So why does it have to say Bamoed? And the answer is, because you would think that before the Shemitah year ends is when we should have our septennial assembly. Maybe on Chai Elul, maybe that's a great, you know, day. The 18th of Eld, that would be really, maybe Erev Rosh Hashanah. So the Torah says, no. It's not at the end of the seventh year. It's actually Bamoed. It's in the Yom Tov. Well, if it's Bamoed, then why does it have to say B'chag HaSukkot? Doesn't Moed, doesn't the festival mean Sukkot? And the answer is Rosh Hashanah is a Moed too. So we have to know that it's not Rosh Hashanah. It's Sukkot. So if it's Sukkot, when in Sukkot? Maybe it's the last day of Sukkot. Maybe it's the climax of Sukkot. We should end on a high. And the answer we heard in the Gemara was Bamoed. Bamoed means at the beginning. Bevo Kol Yisrael, when the people are coming to the Beis HaMikdash. They're coming. They're arriving. They're coming. It's the opening, not the ending. Not when they're leaving, when they're coming. So if we would say Chag HaSukkot alone, we wouldn't know the beginning of Sukkot. We might think the end of Sukkot. We might even think Shmini Atzeret. So how do we know it's the beginning of Sukkot? Because it says, Bevo Kol Yisrael. That's basically a restatement of the Gemara. And the Gemara finished off with the words, and this was a page-turner last week. The Gemara finished off with the words. We said, Hava Amina, I might have thought, Afilo Yom Tov HaAchron, even the end of the festival of Sukkot, Kos of Rachmana, so the merciful one, which is a euphemism for the Torah, clearly spelled out, Bevo Kol Yisrael, when all of Israel is coming, when we are coming. And that means, Me'aschalta de'moed, from the beginning, at the opening, at the beginning of the moed, at the beginning of the festival. Now, very strangely, that it doesn't tell us which day. It doesn't tell us when exactly this mitzvah is supposed to happen. It just says in the beginning, which is a little open-ended. And that's very, very strange. It's very strange that the Torah says it has to be, tells which year, Miketz Shnas HaShemitah. The Torah tells us that it has to be B'moed. The Torah tells us that it has to be Chag HaSukkot. And the Torah tells us it has to be at the time of Bevo Kol Yisrael. So no less than four identifications used in the Torah to describe exactly when this reading should happen. So when exactly does it happen? We don't know.
But it's telling you four things when it's happening.
Yeah, that isn't that unusual? Four things when it's happening.
But it's telling you it's the first day of Sukkot.
Is it the first day of Sukkot?
So isn't that when it's happening?
Is it the first day of Sukkot? I don't know. It's not so simple. So firstly, before we talk, we're going to look at Rashi. Rashi actually comments on this. This is the beginning, the very top of Amud Beis, the second side of page 41. So Rashi actually comments. He gives us a fairly lengthy commentary on this. But before I go to Rashi, I want to stop for a moment and speak about the words of the Tosfos. This is the only Tosfos on the page. It's a commentary on Tosfos that begins with the words, Kosav Rachamona Bechag HaSukot. So the Torah spelled out Bechag HaSukot. Torah spells out Bechag HaSukot. Why did the Torah spell out Bechag HaSukot? Well, very simple. Because if the Torah wouldn't say Bechag HaSukot, I would think it's Rosh Hashanah. Okay. Because, of course, the word Moed, which Moed means an appointed time, a holiday, who says it's Sukkot? The Torah says it's that's why Kosav Rachamona Bechag HaSukot. Why did the Torah have to say Bechag HaSukot on the holiday of Sukkot? Didn't the Torah say the Moed? Moed means in the holiday?
Doesn't Sukkot is more specific?
Sukkot is more specific. Why did the Torah have to give a more specific identification? Because if a Torah would use a broad description, like b'moed, that wouldn't be exclusive. That's inclusive of Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot. That's a problem. They're 15 days apart. So in order to make sure we know that this is a Sukkot mitzvah, not a Rosh Hashanah mitzvah, the Torah has to spell out when? B'chag HaSukkot. So Tosfos asks a very important question. We're understanding that the reason that it has to say B'chag HaSukkot is so that the word B'moed is not misunderstood as Rosh Hashanah. So Tosfos says, Tema, this is actually quite astonishing. The Hashto, Dichsiv B'chag HaSukkot, now that it actually says B'chag HaSukkot, so in that case, B'moed Lomali. Why do I need the word B'moed? B'moed means in the holiday. But the holiday is possible to be Rosh Hashanah as well. So therefore the Torah spelled out B'moed, which holiday? I'm glad you asked. Chag HaSukkot. So Tosfos says, okay, then why say the word B'moed altogether? It's a very good question. It's a very good question. The B'moed just becomes confusing. Va'od, and Tosfos asks a second question. Lo lichtov ela miketz sheva shonim, shnas hashmita, bivo kol Yisrael. The Torah should simply have said, at the end of 7 years of the year of Shemitah, when all of the Jewish people are coming liraot, v'ano yodaino, the lav hainu Rosh Hashanah. I would know that it wouldn't be Rosh Hashanah. How would I know that? Because there is no mitzvah to come to the Beit HaMikdash for Rosh Hashanah. A lot of people did, but there is no mitzvah. There are three pilgrim festivals, three times a year where the Jewish people are enjoined to come to the Beis HaMikdash. And the three festivals are Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot, not Rosh Hashanah or even Yom Kippur. The Oz, when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, Einam Ba'im Lirot, there is no mitzvah of Re'iyah. This mitzvah is called Re'iyah. It's a mitzvah. It's called show up. By the way, it means show up and bring a gift. Mitzvah of Re'iyah means to bring a special Olat Re'iyah, a special ascent offering. So Tosfos answers the second question first. He says, the question as to why it would have to say B'chag HaSukkot, it could have just said, at the time when we are enjoined to stand before God, V'yeshleimar im kein hava amina B'chag HaMatzot. Then I could have said, who says it's Sukkot? Maybe it means on Pesach. It's the year after Shemitah, on Pesach. L'hochi yitzrich B'chag HaSukkot. Now, I want to point out that the logic behind this is actually quite solid. Because, truth be told, we still have Shemitah observances until the 15th day of Shvat. Until Chamisha Asar B'Shvat, which is called Rosh Hashanah L'Ilanot. So whilst we aren't observing Shemitah right away at the beginning of the year, that's for some things we aren't observing Shemitah. For other things, we are still observing Shemitah. So the only time we're really finished with Shemitah, the first Yom Tov when we're done with Shemitah altogether, is actually on Pesach. So the Torah says, no. It's not just at the time when we're obligated to come to Hashem, it's B'Chag HaSukkot. So we've answered that question. Why does it have to say B'Chag HaSukkot? Why can't it just say when we're coming as a pilgrim festival? The answer is because we would have thought this is referring to Pesach. Tosfos says, okay. But mihu, lahachi itzrich b'chag ha-sukkos, but mihu, he says, nonetheless, b'moed lo havet tzarech. The word b'moed didn't have to appear. The word b'moed means in the festival. Well, chag ha-sukkot is a festival. So Tosfos says like this, v'nireh, it seems, the lahachi itzrich, this is why it was necessary for the Torah to spell out B'moed in the festival. Mishum, the Bevo kol Yisrael liraot, with the words, when all of Israel arrives to be seen, mashma, the intimation is, me'aschalta de moed, from the beginning of the festival. The beginning of the festival is which day of the festival? The first day, B'yom Rishon. Kamash Malon, B'moed, in the festival, B'toch HaMoed, in the festival. First day is not in the festival. First day is at the beginning, at the cusp of the festival. In the festival, V'ahochi B'vokol Yisrael, the mashma Me'aschalta the Moed. It means at the beginning of the holiday. Lo B'yom Beis or B'yom Gimel, not the third, second or third day, Ela b'motza'ei Yom Tov Harishon, at the night after Yom Tov. Now, Tosfos is pretty clear. Tosfos says that it would be the night after Yom Tov. That's pretty clear. Interestingly, in the Sefer, the commentary, the Turei Oven, he says very clearly, the Turei Oven says, in the Kiryas Sefer it says that when Tosfos says lo biyom aleph v'lo biyom beis, it means motzoi yom tov. So according to the words of the Tosfos, the reason that the Torah says v'chag ha-sukkot is because I think it's Pesach otherwise. But the reason the Torah says b'moed is into the festival. We have to be into the festival. When is into the festival? After the first day has passed, but not on the second day, and not on the third day. Not on the second, not on the third, but after the first day has passed. When is that? That's the first night after Yom Tov. And incidentally, the Mishnah uses the language, b'matzoi Yom Tov. If you ask any child, when is matzoi Shabbat or matzoi Yom Tov, they're not going to tell you Sunday is matzoi Shabbat. They won't tell you Matzah Yom Tov is the first day of Chol HaMoed. They'll tell you the night after Yom Tov. So the Kiryas Sefer is very clear. That's what it means. Incidentally, the Tiferes Yisrael clearly says this. He says, when is the time that we identify as Parshat HaMelech Ketzad Matzah Yom Tov HaRishon? Says the Tiferes Yisrael, Ratzon Eloimer. What he means to say is, Leil Shekodem Yom Beis. The night before the second day arrives. So the second day is going to dawn. Hakel was done already. It was done at night. That's what the Tosfos says. Now the Rashash has a very, very interesting comment on Tosfos. He says, Lo b'yom beiz, ela b'matzo yom tov harishon, L'cha'ora, he says, Miyom tefarishon, hayno b'yem beis. He's like asking a question. The Tosfos said, not on the second day. He said, what do you mean? That is Matzah Yom Tov. It's not reasonable that he would have read the Torah at night. I have no idea why the Rosh Hashanah says that. Well, why is it not reasonable? They danced the whole night. It was lit up with torches. Why is it not reasonable? What's unreasonable about reading the Torah at night? In many, many communities, the Torah is read Simchas Torah at night, as well as Simchas Torah during the day. What's unreasonable about reading the Torah at night? I have no idea why the Rasha says what he says. I don't understand what he says. But the Kiryas Sefer is very clear in saying that he believed that the Tosva says it's Matzah Yom Tov. Let's take a look in Rashi. We'll see what Rashi holds. So now I'm going to stop. I'm going to break here in the middle of the Tosfos, and we're going to move into the words of Rashi now. I'm going to turn the page. I'm going to go to Amud Beis, to side 2. It's the first Rashi on top of the page. And Rashi says, Me'atchalta demoid. The Gemara says, at the beginning. In Rashi's version, it seems the Gemara said, Me'emas de maschil moyed, when the festival begins. So Rashi says, Umihu b'yom tov lo, but not on Yom Tov. Not on Yom Tov. So it sounds like right after Yom Tov, but not on Yom Tov. Well, why not on Yom Tov? What's wrong with doing this on Yom Tov? So Rashi says, I'll tell you what's wrong with doing this on Yom Tov. The issue with Yom Tov is that Ein Tikun Habima Docha, Lo Et HaShabbat V'Lo Yom Tov. The making or fashioning of a large wooden platform, this enormous wooden platform where the hakel activity would happen, it wouldn't be appropriate for that to override Shabbat. You don't build things on Shabbat. So even though from the pasuk it says hakel should be at the beginning would mean on the first day, you can't do it on the first day because you have to build a platform. And the platform, the building of a platform, cannot override Shabbat or Yom Tov. So in that case, when should they build a platform?
Do it before.
Yeah, why don't you just do it before? So Rashi says, no. Umi etmol nami lo avdin en le. We couldn't build it before. Why not? So he says, the dochke lo azara, because the azara, the courtyard, where the Jewish people would be streaming into the Beis HaMikdash, in order to bring their korbanot, would become very crowded. And that would make like issues with crowd control. It could cause a stampede. This big wooden platform right in the middle. And Rashi says, Hai time mefarish b'gemara Yerushalmi. The Talmud Yerushalmi actually spells this out. It's a Masechet Megillah. The Katoni, we learned the Masechet Megillah, Hakel, the mitzvah of septennial reading. Ma'achrin, we delay it. Kishachol lihiot b'Shabbat, when it turns out on Shabbat. V'ka'omar, and the Gemara says, this is mipnei habima. It's because of the wood platform. So the Gemara says, because of the wood platform, that you can't build on Shabbat. V'nevda mi'etmo. So build it the day before. Or build it 2 days before. And the Gemara says that wouldn't be a good idea. Dochka lo azara, it would become too crowded in the azara, in the courtyard. And indeed, Rashi is actually quoting the Gemara in Talmud Yerushalmi. This is what the Talmud Yerushalmi says. The Talmud Yerushalmi says, Ubahakel. The Gemara brings down two opinions. Rav Brod, Breid Rav Chia, Barbo, Omar, Mipnei Hatkia. Because of the sounding of the shofars or trumpets, which was performed by the Kohanim throughout the city, as we learned in the Tosefta of Masechet Sota, so that everybody would be told, get to the Beis HaMikdash. Something very important is going to be happening. Rabbi Yitzchak Breide Rabbi Chia, his brother Rabbi Yitzchak said, Mipnei Habima, because of the platform. So the Gemara asks, the Talmud Yerushalmi says, V'yasa also k'deh me'esmo, make it yesterday. And the Talmud Yerushalmi answers, Shalo lidcha k'sazara. We don't want to make things tight in the Azara. The Mefarshim on the Yerushalmi say, this is very small letters. Mipnei hatkia, that's the sounding of the trumpets that happened on the day of Hakel, like we learned in Tosefta. What's the bima? So the Korban Ha'eda, a prime commentary on the Yerushalmi says, Shehoya HaMelech Yoshev Aleha B'Shasa Kriya. This was the platform that the king would sit on at the time of the reading. V'yef Shalasot B'Shabbos. So the Gemara says, make it Erev Shabbos. The Gemara says, it would create a traffic jam. Not a good idea. B'yom Tov Haya HaKol Mevi'en Korban Haseim. It's not just a question of people. The people came into the Beis HaMikdash, but they had animals with them. They were bringing korbanot. Because, you know, you could ask me the question, is it to cause a traffic jam? Why wouldn't it cause a traffic jam on the day of Hakel itself? And the answer is, Hakel was not for goats. There was no sheep that were gathered together for Hakel, just people, men, women, and children. So men, women, and children, that kind of works. But when you have a traffic jam where people are packed like sardines and amongst them are goats and rams, this can be a very dangerous thing. You don't want to get animals like that nervous and upset. So it just doesn't work. It doesn't work, says the Korban Eda. They're bringing their korbanot, shalmi chagiga. They're bringing their festive offerings, olot riyah, their ascent offerings. And if you're bringing animals, you need lots of room around you. V'habima osa gedola. This platform was big, it's big, rechava, it's wide. And therefore, it kind of takes up valuable space. So we couldn't have it. In the Pnei Moshe, he speaks in more detail about the shofar blast, because the Kohanim, he says, are going to be sounding the trumpets, or the shofarot, and you can't do that on Shabbos. He says, Pnei Abima, that they would make for the king. So what's wrong with the first reason? So the Pnei Moshe explains that a tkiah is not inherently prohibited on Shabbat. The reason we don't do a tkiah on Shabbat is because we might come to play a musical instrument and that might come to put us in a situation where we fix a guitar or a harp, which would be a biblical violation. And that's called a shavus. That's a rabbinic mitzvah. Ein shavus b'migdash. There is no shavus in the migdash. So therefore there's no issue, he says. That we could override. So the Gemara says, so do it before. Now, do it before, the day before is Yom Tov. How does that help? So he explains the Pnei Moshe. Yomim Shnayim Ushleisha. If you make it a few days before the Hakel, then you're going to have a problem. So Rashi's quoting a Talmud Yerushalmi. Right? It's very clear. Okay. Now let's go back to the Tosfos. This gets really interesting. Tosfos comes along now and asks a question on Rashi. According to Tosfos, the reason that we're doing it after Yom Tov is because the Torah says Bamoed. Bamoed means in the holiday. At the beginning, but in the holiday, once the holiday has already begun. So the Tosfos says, I believe, in our school of thought, the reason we're doing it in the holiday is because the Torah says so. But he says, Rashi really astonishes me. Pirush Rashi Tamua. Rashi's shocking. Because according to Rashi, who says that the reason that you can't do it on the first day of Yom Tov is because you can't build the platform on the first day of Yom Tov. So he says, well, according to Rashi, in that case, skip the platform. How is it possible that you don't do a mitzvah in its proper time because you can't build a platform, but the Torah never says to build a platform? Skip the platform and do the mitzvah. No, I want to do the mitzvah nicely. I want to do it beautifully. I want to have a platform. Well, that's very nice. But if you have to do the mitzvah at the beginning, do the mitzvah. Like you're embellishing the mitzvah at the expense of the mitzvah? Doesn't make any sense. And Tosva says, therefore, Mistaver, it seems that they would build a platform before Yom Tov. They would build it in pieces. And Chol HaMoed, they would assemble it quickly. And in that case, there really shouldn't be an issue. Because the platform is built in pieces. You bring the pieces together. Shouldn't even be an issue. So the Tosfos asks a very strong question on Rashi. He says, how is it possible, according to Rashi, that we're actually delaying the performance of a mitzvah in order to embellish it? So the commentary, I should say the super commentary, which is called Be'er Sheva, fires back at Tosfos. He says, I beg your pardon? You're asking a question on Rashi? Why would they build a platform, just do the mitzvah in the beginning? Be'er Sheva says, Rashi didn't make this up. It's a Talmud Yerushalmi. What do you want from Rashi? The Talmud Yerushalmi says you delay the mitzvah of Hakel because there's no platform. We can't do it on Shabbat because there's no platform. So, skip the platform. No. Platform is a very big, important part of this. Now, in the previous episodes, we talked about the platform. And I elaborated a great deal as to why the platform is so important, such a big deal. But clearly, we can't have the platform there for a couple of days. That's clear. And we're prepared to delay the mitzvah because of that. So the Be'er Sheva says, really and truly, the attack on Rashi is unfair. It's not Rashi's opinion. He's quoting the Yerushalmi. So, but Tosfos has a very good question. Tosfos' question is, how do you push off a mitzvah? And therefore, the Be'er Sheva wants to say that actually, you aren't pushing off a mitzvah. Why? Because the Torah doesn't say it has to be done on the first day of Sukkot. The Torah says it has to be done at the beginning. The beginning. And he says this is at the beginning. Torah never said the first day. Torah said at the beginning. At the beginning is not the first day, the second day. Or as Tosfos himself said, not the second day, right after the first day. As soon as possible. And therefore, the Be'er Sheva says, really, there's no question on the words of Rashi, because Tosfos' question was, how could you delay a mitzvah when you have opportunity to perform it on the right time, and you're delaying the primary thrust of what we're trying to accomplish, which is doing Hashem's mitzvah, in order to get a little detail in place? And the Be'er Sheva answers, you're not overriding anything. So when the question comes in, why does Rashi have to give this explanation altogether? So the Be'er Sheva explains, because we know when it comes to mitzvahs, alacrity is a tremendous virtue. You're supposed to try and do a mitzvah as soon as possible. It's the right thing to do. And because we're supposed to try and do a mitzvah as soon as possible, if it says at the beginning, do it in the first day. Why wait for the first night? Or the second night? So for this, Rashi explains, we're not violating a mitzvah, but we're simply overriding the concept of zrizut, of doing it as soon as possible, because we feel we can do it in a better fashion. Now, incidentally, there is a clear halacha that tells us that a brit milah should be done first thing in the morning, but if there's going to be a much bigger crowd in the afternoon, one is permitted to delay the Brit Milah to the afternoon. And there are different communities that have different customs about this, but the point is, the concept of Zrizut is important, but so is something like a big crowd. So there are various important parts over here, moving parts, various important parts. So in this way, the Be'er Sheva answers the question of Tosfos, and according to Rashi and Tosfos, it seems pretty clear that the reading would take place on the night after Yom Tov. The Turei Evan goes further. The Turei Evan says that the mitzvah is when the Jewish people are coming to the Beis HaMikdash. When is there a mitzvah to come to the Beis HaMikdash? When is there a mitzvah to come? The answer is the first day. The mitzvah of Re'iyah, the mitzvah of showing up, showing your face, is supposed to come along with the mitzvah of Olat Re'iyah, You come along, you show your face, and you bring a special korban. So along with that special korban is the mitzvah of riyah. They're actually, they go side by side. And therefore, the Turi Oven says, did you know that when you come to the Beis HaMikdash for the first day of Yom Tov, it's true you can bring your korbanot for 7 days after, but that's only hashlama, that's only making up, it's makeup time. The real proper thing to do is the first day. But did you know you're not allowed to leave that night? You have to stay overnight. You don't come to the Beis HaMikdash and leave. You come and you spend the night. So because you come and spend the night, says the Turi Oven, actually this would be part of the mitzvah of coming. So Ravashi is saying makes perfect sense. It's supposed to be done when the Jewish people are coming, and the first night they're still coming. By the way, the next day there's no more an obligation like that. So from the Turi Oven's words, it's very clear that Rashi would tell you, when is the reading of Hakel? At night, at Simchat Beit HaShoeva. The Teferet Zion adds a very interesting little detail here. He says that in Rashi's words, the mitzvah is, Bevo kol Yisrael liraot. So he says, as long as we're still fulfilling the mitzvah of coming, you can't call it delaying a mitzvah. If you would delay it to the next day, to the morning of Chol HaMoed, that would be delaying a mitzvah from its proper time. But as long as you're doing it within the first day or the night afterwards, all of this together comprises the mitzvah of coming, the mitzvah of Re'iyah. So there is no delay. There's no delay. If a person does a mitzvah at 7 o'clock in the morning and somebody else does the mitzvah at 10 o'clock in the morning, do we say, well, 10 o'clock in the morning? Should have done it at 7. There's a mitzvah to blow the shofar, to sound the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. In communities all over the world, people get up in the morning and they come to shul and they go through the whole shacharit service and then they read the Torah and only afterwards they blow the shofar. Why did you sound the shofar at the first moment? This is the reason Magdim the mitzvahs. At the crack of dawn, sound the shofar. The answer is because it wouldn't be much of a shofar sounding. You wouldn't have a crowd. This way we come, we prepare ourselves. It's a better shofar sounding. There's so many examples of this. As long as you're within the frame of time, there is no delay whatsoever. You're doing it in the best time. The best time is on a big bima, like Tosva says, already built before. It only takes a little while to put it together. So the first day we had the korbanot going. We don't want to get in the way of the korbanot. And that way all the mitzvahs can be accommodated. You can't bring korbanot at night. You can only bring korbanot during the day. But it's still something you have to be there for. So the re'iyah korban part is by day. At night, you're just there. Perfect. Bring the korbanot by day. And when you can't bring the korbanot anymore, that's when you read Hakel. It just makes perfect sense. According to this, it's very clear that the reading would take place when? At night. At night. Incidentally, the Divrei Shaul says that one could argue that just like when it comes to bringing the korban of Olat Re'iyah, the special offering for the pilgrims, a special offering, special gift, you could bring it all 7 days. He says, the Divrei Shaul says, you could understand from this that the first day is the ideal mitzvah. And then all 7 days afterwards is a time to make up for the mitzvah if you didn't do it yet. But surely the night after would be the ideal time to perform this. And yet, there are many Rishonim who tell us that the day is the time, not the night. Shocking. So for example, we have the commentary of the Rambam himself on Mishnayot. Now in the Rambam's words of Mishnah Torah, it's not clear. In Mishnah Torah, the Rambam simply says, Matzoy Yom Tov. However, if we take a look at the words of the Rambam's commentary on the Mishnah, which was translated from its Arabic original into Hebrew by Rabbi Yehuda ibn Tibbon. So over there, in the seventh chapter, the Gemara, the Pirush HaMishnayos says like this. V'hakriya haita biyom sheni misukot. The reading was on the second day of Sukkot. And that's called Bevokol Yisrael, not the mitzvah of Re'iya per se, but Me'aschalta de Mo'ada, from the beginning of the Mo'ed. What does it mean, the beginning of the Mo'ed? That means, Ratzel Leimer, Tchilas Cholo Shel Mo'ed. Chol HaMo'ed, not Yom Tov, Chol HaMo'ed. So according to the words of the Tosef, of the Rambam, he says, B'Mo'ed doesn't just mean in the Yom Tov, it means in the beginning of Chol HaMo'ed. Mo'ed is a euphemism for Chol HaMo'ed, for the weekday festival, which is festive and weekday at the same time. That's what B'Mo'ed means. B'Chag HaSukkot, B'Mo'ed in Chol HaMo'ed. According to the Rambam, it has nothing to do with Olat Re'iya. It has nothing to do with that first day. On the contrary, the Torah is telling you B'Chol HaMo'ed. The Rambam is not the only one. The Me'iri, in the Chidushim of the Me'iri, in the commentary, not the Beis HaBechira, but the commentary, the Chidushim of the Me'iri on the Gemara, the Me'iri says, V'hakriya b'yom sheni shel Sukkot. Ba'aschalta de Mo'ada, Ratzon Aloma, Rishon shel Cholo shel Mo'ada. Same idea as the Rambam. And then later the Me'iri says, Parshas HaMelech, the Mishnah says, Ketzad, how does it happen? B'matzoy Yom Tov HaRishon Shel Chag, Ratzon Olomar, what he means to say is, Yom Sheni Shel Sukkot, Shehu Rishon L'chol HaMoed. Now, the Rebbe once spoke about this, and he said that clearly, whether we read it at night or during the next day, there is clearly a machloikas, whether the time of the reading is rabbinic or biblical. So according to Rashi and Tosfos, certainly according to Rashi, it would seem that the reading on Matzoy Yom Tov is a rabbinic injunction. But really it should be read on the first day. As such, the Rebbe said, well, Mashiach will come. When will we read the Hakel? When there's no longer any problems or issues, any questions of things going wrong. On the first day of Sukkot? Because the rabbinic decree is no longer necessary. But if we learn pshat like the Tosfos, that says Bamoed, in the festival, even though it seems in the Tosfos that would be at night, certainly if we learn pshat in the Rambam and Me'iri, that Bamoed means B'chol Shel Moed, then it's a biblical thing. Then in that case, when Mashiach will come, it will also be, according to Tosfos at night, according to the Me'iri and the Rambam, the next day. When will it be? We'll find out. I don't know. But this is actually shocking when you think about it. Because it turns out that there's this very specific time spelled out in the Torah, and then actually isn't specific at all. We have a major machloket harishonim as to when this happens. It's interesting that the Minchas Chinuch, Mitzvah Tafrei Shud Beis, the Minchas Chinuch says, from the words of Rashi, it would seem pretty clear that the mitzvah has to be done in the Azara. It has to be done in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. Because if it didn't have to be done in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, we could build a bima, we could build a big platform somewhere else. So he says, seems that way. Needed the Beis HaMikdash dafke. Mikol Mokim, the Michas Chinuch says, Ein Raya, there's no proof. Maybe they just said it should be in the Beis HaMikdash because it's a more central location, because it's a more effective setting for creating that kind of atmosphere. It's very interesting. Like an interesting take on this. So, the Aderes, who wrote a very interesting compilation on Hakel in the early 20th century, he says something quite fascinating. He says, no. It does have to be in the Beis HaMikdash. It does have to be in the Beis HaMikdash. He says, so well, it has to be in the Beis HaMikdash, then why would it have to be inside the Beis HaMikdash? Why does it have to be that way? And the Adera says like this. Because it's linked to the mitzvah of Re'iyah. Re'iyah means show up, show your face. He says, show your face where? If somebody comes to Yerushalayim, has he fulfilled the mitzvah of Re'iyah? The answer is, most definitely not. What if somebody comes to the Temple Mount? He comes to the Har HaBayit, but doesn't go into the Beis HaMikdash. Does he fulfill the mitzvah? No. Where does he have to go? Into the Beis HaMikdash proper. But then the Adaras asks, in that case, why would we have the reading in the Ezrat Nashim, in the outer courtyard? We should have the reading in the inner courtyard. We actually fulfill the mitzvah of Re'iyah. And he says, that's because we want to have the platform. And we want that the Malchei Beis David should be able to sit. And he can't sit in the Azara itself. He can only sit in the outer courtyard. So whichever which way you slice it or dice it, it's pretty clear that sitting and platform is an important part of it.
There would be more room for people also.
Well, it would be less room for people, but it would be a more impressive kind of setting. And if you remember from the previous episodes, we harped on this concept of creating the most unusual kind of reality so that it would leave an indelible impression. And that's why all this is important. Now, the Adaras actually goes further. The Adaras says, so why would it be on the second day? Why would it be on the second day? He says that doesn't seem to make sense. Or why would the Rambam specifically say at night, by day and not at night? Why not do it at night as soon as possible? So the Adaras is a very interesting thing. He says, because it's linked to the mitzvah of Re'iyah. Re'iyah means to show yourself, but more importantly, the technical fulfillment of Re'iyah. If you come empty-handed, you did not fulfill the mitzvah of Re'iyah. Re'iyah means to see, but it means to see and to give. Lo yoyroh ponecho reikom. You're not allowed to show up empty-handed. When can you bring a korban? Only during the day. He says, since the mitzvah is linked to Re'iyah, it has to be during the day. That's what the Rav Meiri say, that the time is on the second day, not at night. But nonetheless, it seemed pretty clear from Rashi and from Tosfos, at least the way the great Mefarshim, not Rashash, but much, much more important Mefarshim, like the Kiryas Sefer, who say that, yes, it was at night. So how does that work? Now we have a question within a question. Here the Adaras is telling us that it's connected to the concept of Re'iyah. Makes sense, it should be during the day. And we have an open discussion of it being at night. So this is all very mysterious. It's all very mysterious. So this is my little suggestion. I did a lot of thinking about this. I've mentioned many times that the Rebbe spoke about Shnas Hakel, the year of Hakel. And the Rebbe emphasized that Hakel is not actually limited to a specific time. There's the time we performed mitzvah of Hakel, but the impact of Hakel is supposed to be all year long. And in fact, you can do Hakel-like activities all year long. Isn't it remarkable that this is the only time-bound mitzvah that doesn't have a time attached to it? I was thinking about it. I don't know of a single other mitzvah that doesn't have a specific time for it. We don't even know if it's a night mitzvah or a day mitzvah. Eating matzah has to be at night. Taking the lulav etrog and the hadas menorahs has to be during the day. We know which day these mitzvahs are. The mitzvah of eating matzah, telling the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, eating the korban pesach, it's only on the night of the Yom Tov. If you do it the next day, you don't fulfill the mitzvah. If you take your lulav the night before, you didn't fulfill the mitzvah. This mitzvah, Rashi and Tesis are saying at night. Rambam Meir is saying the day. What's going on over here? And the Torah, you gave us so many coordinates, four different details to describe when, and we still have no idea. It's precisely the point. The Torah wants you to know that there is a special time for it, but actually it's not linked to the time. It's not about that day. The Hakel is not the day is over, Hakel is done. That's it's the beginning of Hakel. The impact of Hakel has to continuously resonate all year and ultimately all cycle till the next Hakel. So the Torah said, when everybody's coming. It's not about a day. It's about when everybody's there. It's about when it's the most efficacious time. Sukkot is when everybody comes. Don't wait for Pesach. Sukkot, when everybody comes, right in the beginning. You have to delay it. You delay it a day. Whatever makes the most impact. Whatever makes the strongest, most powerful kind of impression. That's the best way for Hakel. It's actually not tethered to a specific time. So what's the question of doing it by night or day? The question is, are we doing it as soon as possible? According to the Rambam, according to the Meiri, it says, Bamoed. Bamoed means in the Chol HaMoed. So in the Chol HaMoed is during the day. In Chol HaMoed. According to Rashi or Tosfos, it says in the beginning. I can't do it during Yom Tov. So then I should do it as soon as possible. According to Tosfos, it's Bamoed in Chol HaMoed, that night. According to Rashi, really you should do it from earlier. And like the Rebbe said, well, Mashiach will come according to Rashi, you'll do it on the first day. Because then you'll be able to have that same efficacious setting without a delay. And this is like just makes sense. Otherwise, it doesn't add up. And now a final point. So why indeed does the Torah want us to wait until at least the first day ends? Like, what's the logic behind it? According to the Aderis, the logic is that it's connected to the idea of the Olat Re'iyah. It's a very big chiddush. It contradicts how would Tosfos explain it? How would the Kiryas Sefer explain Tosfos then? How would he explain Rashi? And by the way, the language Matzah Yom Tov seems to indicate like Rashi and Tosfos, not like the Rambam Meiri. What that Dera says is a huge chiddush. And in fact, it's not implicit anywhere that it's connected to Re'iyah. It says, Bevo kol Yisrael, Bevo, when they're coming. And according to the Rambam and Meiri, that it has to be in Chol HaMoed, it's definitely not the mitzvah of Re'iyah. Because the bringing of a korban on the second day of Yom Tov on Chol HaMoed is only a tashlumin, it's not the mitzvah itself. It would be like zeroing in on a secondary or third level detail and making that the primary. So the Rebbe gave us a very different explanation, a very different logic as to why we would wait until after the first day. We wouldn't do it right away. According to Tosfos, Rambam and Meiri, that's biblical. According to Rashi, it would still be a good idea to delay. Why? So the Rebbe says that the content of Hakel is Achdus, the unity of the Jewish people. By the way, the mitzvah of showing up is not about unity. The mitzvah of showing up at the Beit HaMikdash applies every one of the Chagim, every one of the three festivals, all the years, in every single year. It's not unique to the Shemitah or the year after. And it's a personal mitzvah. I have a mitzvah, I have to show up. You don't show up, it doesn't take away from my mitzvah. But if you don't show up to Hakel, I'm there myself at Hakel, my Hakel is missing. The Rebbe learns Pshat very differently from the Aderis. It's not about the mitzvah of Olat Re'iyah, which is a private, personal mitzvah. The concept of Hakel is Achdus of the Jewish people. This is in the second night of Sukkot. in the year 1987, Toshim Emchess, which is the year of Hakel. Many, many years earlier, I think maybe in 1953, 52 or 53, the Rebbe spoke about the joy of Sukkot, that it's a great equalizer, that we're all together, joyous together. So the Rebbe says, you see it implicitly in the language that's used in the Torah, Hakel es ha'om ha'noshim ha'noshim v'ha'taf. Gather everybody together. The mitzvah of Olat Re'iya is a male mitzvah. A woman is exempt from this mitzvah. Children are not obligated in this mitzvah. This mitzvah is men, women, and children equally. Shekol Yisrael mis'asvim yachdav. All the Jewish people have to gather together in one place, ideally in the Beis HaMikdash. And they come for a single purpose. There's one matara, there's one goal. There's one tachlit, there's one purpose here, and that's liyiras Hashem. To develop a greater sense of awe and reverence for God. So why is that connected to Sukkot? The Rebbe said it's actually inherently connected to Sukkot. Because on Sukkot we emphasize the unity of the Jewish people with the mitzvah of the four kinds. The four kinds represent four different kinds of Jews. Like the Medrash famously says, the etrog is both aromatic and tasty. Dates are tasty, but not very aromatic. Myrtles are aromatic, but the berries are bitter. Aravot have neither scent, aroma, or taste. And taste and aroma is a euphemism, a metaphor for Torah, for study, and for mitzvot. Taste is the Torah study, and the scent, the aroma, is like the mitzvah observance. So the esrog has both, excellence in both. The lulav excels in Torah study. The myrtles are people of great action. And the arava, he just shows up. Nothing to speak of. Not a very impressive fellow. And we take all these together, as we say, the yasu kulam aguda achas. We make one band. We come together in one band. Lasot ritzoncha b'levav shalom, to do your will wholeheartedly. We make it a mitzvah achat, one mitzvah. And ideally, where should we do this mitzvah? If possible, in the sukkah. Which the sukkah is the great equalizer. It brings all of us together, as our sages said in the Gemara of Masechet Sukkah on page 27. It says, "Reuyim kol Yisrael leishev b'sukkah achat." One sukkah can encompass, in theory, the entire nation. All people together could be in the same sukkah. The Rebbe said, therefore, the time of Hakel is on the time of Sukkot when b'matzoi yom tov harishon, after you fulfill the mitzvah. After we came together, after the lulav and esrog. On another occasion, the Rebbe said that there's a big difference between the unity of the sukkah and the unity of the four kinds. Namely, that the unity of the sukkah, which we fulfill on the night of Sukkot, essentially glosses over and ignores our differences. We're all in the sukkah together. It's very nice. It's not realistic. Because pragmatically, we're different. We can ignore our differences for only so long. At the end of the day, we're still different. So once our differences are pronounced, can we still be united? And the lulav and esrog comes along and says, yes. Because the lulav and esrog emphasizes the distinction and the difference, and despite that, we can transcend our differences and still make a single band. You have to have the different kinds. If you don't have aravot, you don't fulfill the mitzvah. You can't have a second lulav instead of the arava. You can't take a fourth esrog. It's not going to help you. So therefore, it's only after you fulfill the mitzvahs that prime us for hakel. We're in the sukkah on the night of Sukkot. We fulfill the mitzvah of lulav and esrog on the day of Sukkot. And after this, right after that, we're ready for hakel. Makes perfect sense. Now, according to Rashi, we could say that the logic, the idea that the Rebbe is advancing here, is what motivated the sages to delay until the evening. According to the Tosfos, Rambam and Meiri, who seem to learn it from the Pasuk itself, the Tosfos learns it from the idea of Bevo Kol Yisrael, Bamoed, from the Bamoed. And the Rambam and the Meiri say that it's Bamoed in the beginning, Aschalta de Moed, in the beginning, in the Chol HaMoed. I said, this is a biblical thing. It's exactly what the Torah is telling you. After you fulfill the mitzvahs of togetherness, not just the togetherness that glosses over differences and ignores them, but the togetherness of the Lulav and Esrog, which is comprised of the differences, then you're ready for Hakel. And that one makes perfect sense. Either way you look at it, whether it's a question, whether it's rabbinically delayed or it's actually biblically delayed, it makes perfect sense that it shouldn't be right away. We first do whatever we can to get onto the same page, and then after we come together, then we are able to do the mitzvah in its most proper form. And doing the mitzvah in its most proper form, in the best way possible, uplifts and inspires us a whole year long. Because the goal of the mitzvah is a part of the mitzvah. Here, the goal of the mitzvah is that we should all come to have a greater sense of awe, respect, and reverence for Hashem, liyiras Hashem. So it doesn't matter exactly when it has to happen. It's not a mitzvah which is connected to this day or the other day. It's a mitzvah which we perform at a certain broad general time, which gives us a platform to launch the coming year, and in fact, the entire cycle that will follow it. And now I think it all makes sense. Anyway, that's a little offering for this episode. And with this, we conclude the next episode of Hakel, and we will move on to the next piece of Gemara in the coming episode, the honor of kings. And we'll talk about Agrippas, and we'll talk about the way the king had to be honored, because on the surface it seems that the king's honor shouldn't have been done exactly in this fashion. And of course, once we'll understand that, we'll have a better understanding of Hakel as well. But that is Be'ezrat Hashem to come in a future class. In the meanwhile, thank you for joining. Yashar Koyach, for those who came in person, for those who are there online. And may Hashem bless us with the greatest Hakel of all, the coming of Mashiach, and us being gathered together in this year of Hakel in the third Beis HaMikdash, b'mheira u'b'yameinu speedily, and in our days, amen. Yashar Koyach, if you aren't yet, please subscribe, youtube.com/Rabbi Mendel Kaplan.